So, before Kathy was ever pregnant or we were ever trying to have kids, we had names picked out for our first child. If it was a boy, it was going to be Matthew Joel. And if it was a girl, it would be Natalie Michelle. But we did the same thing right after Natalie was born. We decided, okay, we're going to have names picked out for whenever we have a second child. This time we changed it up a little bit. If it was a boy, it was no longer going to be Matthew Joel, but Matthias Joel. And the reason for that is we really got to thinking, my brother, his middle child, is named Matthew Levi. And we didn't want to have two Matthews in the family. But the reason why we picked Matthew to begin with is Kathy always wanted to have a kid that she could just call Matt. So we figured Matthias works just as well without having another Matthew in the family. So it would have been Matthias Joel, or if it was a girl, it would be Madison Ray. Now I have to be honest, we did not choose these names because they have any sort of special meaning. We have no one in our families who go by the name Natalie, Michelle, Madison, or Ray. Although I guess I do have a cousin whose kid's name is Madison, and my grandpa, his name was Raymond, and we did call him Ray, but those were not any of our intentions when we named our kids. That we just liked the sound of them. In addition, we didn't name them because of what their names meant. The meaning didn't have any significance to us. Natalie actually means Christmas Day. And while we did spend some time at the hospital on Christmas Day thinking that she might be coming that day, it would actually be 2 weeks later before she was born. Michelle means who is like God. Which again sounds great, but again, I didn't know or remember this until I looked it up, preparing for this message this morning. Madison means son of Matthew, and well, first of all, she is not a son. Second of all, my name is not Matthew. And then Ray means trust, lightning, or thunder. And while this might have ended up describing Maddie Ray pretty accurately, we did not know that at the time. To be honest, we named our girls what we did simply because we liked the sound of those names. But for many other people, names have much more significance. For instance, my grandpa is named Richard. My dad is named Richard. My older brother is named Richard. My oldest nephew is named Richard. Because you see, in our family, the oldest son names his oldest son Richard. There's tradition, there's significance in our family for that. And if we would have had a boy, giving my name as the middle name of our oldest boy was going to be the new tradition. But alas, we had two girls instead. But even more than that, names, though, do have meaning. My name, for instance, Joel, means Jehovah or Yahweh is God. Just this last week, I had a discussion about how that meaning actually affects the spelling of my name. That is why my name is spelled J-O-E-L and not J-O-L-E, like whole, mole, or pole. Because L, E-L in Hebrew, means God. Maybe you or someone in your family has a deep meaning behind why you named someone the way that they did, or your name has a lot of significance of why you were named that. All throughout Scripture, we find that their culture valued the meaning of names. People were named with a purpose. Abraham means father of many. Elijah means my God is Yahweh. Elisha means my God is salvation. Esau means hairy. So quite a literal description there. Isaac means to laugh. And remember how when Abraham and Sarah were told that they would have a child in their old age, what did Sarah do? She laughed. Jacob means heel grabber. Again, so much, that is literally what he was doing to his twin brother Esau as they were coming out of their mother's womb. Job means persecute. Peter means stone. And remember how Jesus told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Samuel means God has heard, which is what Hannah named her son after. God heard her prayer for a child and that she would dedicate him to God. And then Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. And the name Jesus? Well, the name Jesus is actually just the Greek form of the name Joshua. That Yahweh is salvation. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, when he was considering leaving Mary after finding out that she was pregnant, the angel told Joseph to name the baby Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Yahweh is salvation. God himself saw the importance of names. Remember the third commandment? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And for many Jews, they took this commandment extremely seriously. His name was Ananias ben Teradia. He was a Jewish scholar in the 2nd century AD. And he was known for holding open meetings where he taught from the Torah, a scroll containing the first 5 books of the Bible. Ben Teradian was also known for using the personal name of God, Yahweh, and teaching it to others. Considering that the first 5 books of the Bible contain the name of God more than 1,800 times, how could he teach the Torah without teaching about God's name? Ben Teradian's day, however, was a dangerous time for Jewish scholars. According to Jewish historians, the Roman emperor had made it illegal under the penalty of death to teach or to practice Judaism. And eventually the Romans arrested him. At his arrest, he was holding a copy of the Torah, and when responding to his accusers, he candidly admitted that in teaching the Bible, he was merely obeying a divine command. Yet still, he received a death sentence. On the day of his execution, he was wrapped in the very scroll of the Bible that he was holding when he was arrested. And then, he was burned at the stake. The Encyclopedia Judaica says that in order to prolong his agony, tufts of wool soaked in water were placed over his heart so that he couldn't die quickly. And as part of his punishment, his wife was also executed, and his daughter was sold to a brothel. Now, although the Romans were responsible for this brutal execution, the Talmud states that the punishment of being burned came upon him because he pronounced the name of God in its full spelling. You see, to the Jews, pronouncing the personal name of God was indeed a serious transgression. And while they might have had a misunderstanding of what God intended when he gave the people the third commandment, so much so that they would not say the name of God, and even very Orthodox Jews today will not write the name of God. If you see their writing, it's a G underscore D. They will not write the full name of God. Nevertheless, despite maybe their misunderstanding of God's commandment here, they knew that there was power in God's name. In the last couple weeks, we sang a new song. What a beautiful name. Praising the name of Jesus Christ our King. And as the song from saying what a beautiful name it is, to what a wonderful name it is, to what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. And what is amazing is that there truly is power in the name of Jesus. And this morning, for just a little bit, I want to examine what power there is in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, the apostles have all just been filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes out there and he starts preaching to all the people. And as he preaches to them, he boldly proclaims that the man Jesus, who not 2 months earlier they were responsible for having him executed on a cross, well, that Jesus, he really was who he said he was. He really was the Messiah that was prophesied about throughout the scriptures, and that they were the ones responsible for his death. But I want you to catch what it says in verses 37 through 41. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You see, first and foremost, it is only through the name of Jesus that we can be saved. That is why Peter tells the people here that they must repent and be baptized in his name, given to mankind by which we must be saved. Again, remember, the name Jesus literally means Yahweh, God is salvation. It is only by the power of his name that you can have salvation. And to be honest, we live in a culture today, a society today that says, you know what, if you're just good enough, that'll get you to heaven.
Hey, there's a point. We're out here today asking people what they think it takes to get to heaven.
I don't know if I believe in, like, you have to be good to get to heaven, or if you're bad, you go to hell.
People hope there's an afterlife, and that gives them a reason to keep, you know, that's their purpose in life, a lot of people.
So do you hope there's an afterlife?
No, I mean, I think that's what a lot of people hope. I think that's what the reason they go through the emotions that they do in life, and what the actions they take is to get to this, you know, heaven, or whatever we want to call it, afterlife.
So what does it take for a person to go to heaven, in your opinion?
I guess just to be true to yourself and know in your heart that you did the best that you could. And hopefully that you didn't, you know, hurt anybody along the process, or, you know, cause any ill feelings or any ill will towards anybody. Like I said, just be good.
Be good to each other. I don't, you know, I think everybody's views and beliefs are different, but I think at the end of the day, you know, how you treat one another is what matters.
I don't know. I think maybe your soul might carry on through something else, another form, another medium, maybe reborn into something else. Or
so kind of a reincarnation type thing.
Maybe. Or just like a recycling of energy.
I think we all have conscious. It's driven by energy. That energy, as soon as you die, it disappears in the earth and doesn't go anywhere else.
So what do you think happens to us when we die?
Nothing.
Lights out. That's it. No more. It's all black.
What I think it takes a person to get to heaven is, number one, confess that Jesus is God. Number two, live a life in which you are serving others, as if do unto others, you know, your golden rules, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And above all, serve, serve, serve. This world, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think so too, yeah. So, and of course, you know, we're gonna bring in the baptism, you know, because he mentioned about the baptism. So, yeah, you gotta be baptized, yeah.
So if there was a heaven, what do you think it takes to get there?
Just being a good person. It's very simple, yeah.
You see, in our culture today, so many people are under the impression that all you have to do is live a good life. That's the ticket to heaven, to be a good person. But there is a deep understanding that must take place, that there is nothing we can do because simply we can't be good enough. Because our standard of what is good is wrong. Yeah, maybe you sit me next to Jeffrey Dahmer or Hitler. I'm a good person. Maybe even you sit me next to one of your coworkers, and I'm a good person. But what happens when you sit me next to God? I am nothing but a worm. I am nothing but filthy rags. I am nothing but a corrupt, sinful person. And there's nothing good enough that I can do on my own to ever cleanse me enough to make me even come close to comparing to the goodness of God. Because we have all fallen short of the standard of His goodness. And that is why we are in need of Yahweh, of God, of His love, and of salvation, of the name of Jesus. But the name of Jesus brings more than salvation. The name of Jesus brings healing. We find this story just the next chapter over in Acts chapter 3. Just one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being called to, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. But then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. What had happened to him? Whose name was the man commanded to walk under? You see, the name of Jesus not only brings salvation, but healing. As a matter of fact, later on in the book of Acts, we see Paul using the name of Jesus to command an evil spirit to come out of a girl. Now, I know that the idea of faith healing are very controversial in the church today. And while personally I have not seen or experienced where someone has gone up on a stage and been miraculously healed, I'm going to be very honest with you, I am at the same time not someone who can deny the power of God and its possibility, working through people and through the name of Jesus. I believe that with Christ, all things are possible. What I do know for sure is this, though. That there is healing power in the name of Jesus. If I didn't believe that, I would be spending the next elders meeting or board meeting trying to convince our leadership that that white piece of paper that's in your bulletin, that prayer list, is a waste of time and energy and paper. We believe that when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that there is power in that to bring healing to the sick, to the physically sick, to the emotionally sick, to the mentally sick, to the spiritually sick. And that is why we pray in the name of Jesus, because it is His name and His name alone that has power. And to bring healing to a sick and a fallen world. I love what Paul tells the people in the church in Philippi. He says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus, which is above all other names, has the power to bring people to their knees and to see Him for who He really is. And maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday people will fall on their knees and acknowledge the name of Jesus. We need to be in that same place to acknowledge the power of the name of Jesus. Maybe you're someone who's been sick, or you know someone who's been sick. James would write this in James 5:14. He says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil. How? In the name of the Lord. Well, I might not have witnessed a faith healing that we often think of. When we ministered in Southern Illinois, there was a man by the name of Frank Machina. Frank was a farmer, worked with cattle, and one day he was at a cattle auction. He was helping unload the cattle when all of a sudden one of them got spooked. Kicked him right in the chest. Had to be life-flighted to St. Louis because of his injuries. In the midst of it, he had a stroke. Caught MRSA. Was in the ICU in St. Louis for days. And they basically said he does not have a chance of making it. So his wife, Betty, called Kathy's dad, David, the preacher, and asked him to contact the elders and myself and all of us caravan to St. Louis. And I still remember to this day us putting on, you know, the garbs and the masks and, you know, the hairnets and everything as we went into his room in the ICU. Now all of us circled around him. We prayed. David anointed his head with oil. Now, it wasn't an instantaneous thing. But I know this. It wasn't long after that that Frank Machino came out of the ICU. And not long after that that he came home. He went out on to outlive his wife, Betty. There's power. Name of Jesus. Be praying for those around you because you have power in the name of Jesus to do great things. You know, maybe you've been going through life thinking that you're just fine because you're a good person. You help little old ladies across the street. You'll go out to lunch after church today and you'll tip 20%. You make sure you pay every cent in taxes that you owe to the government. You never cheated in high school. You're faithful to your spouse. I have to tell you, it's not good enough. There's no way for you to earn your salvation. That despite all the good you may do, at the core of who you are is still a sinner in need of salvation, just like the rest of us. And God has made it absolutely clear there is only one way to gain salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Again, there's no name other than the name of Jesus by which we can be saved. We're going to offer an opportunity for you. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. You have never called upon His name to save you. And we want to discuss that further with you, what that really means. Or maybe you're just in need of some prayer in the name of Jesus right now. Here in just a minute, we're gonna sing a song of invitation, a time for you to come forward. And whether that's to pray with you, or maybe that is for you to accept Jesus Christ and to be saved in His name. I want to encourage you to do that as we stand, as we sing our song of invitation.